The actor Timothy Hutton, who played the part of Scott and Zelda's marriage counselor in the play Sunday at the Fitzgeralds, and the editor of Harper's Magazine, Mr. Lewis Lapham.
Do you find it easy to shift from one literary project to another, or do you continue through to finish what you start?
The fact that I am interrupting serious work to answer these questions proves that I am so stupid that I should be penalized severely. I will be, don't worry.
Thornton Wilder speaks of mnemonic devices that get the writer going on his day's work. He says you once told him you sharpened 20 pencils.
I don't think I ever owned 20 pencils at one time. Wearing down 7 number 2 pencils is a good day's work.
Where are some of the places you have found most advantageous to work? The Ambos Mundos Hotel must have been one, judging from the number of books you did there, or do surroundings have little effect on the work?
The Ambos Mundos in Havana was a very good place to work in. This finca is a splendid place, or was. But I have worked well everywhere. I mean, I have been able to work as well as I can under varied circumstances. The telephone and visitors are the work destroyers.
Is emotional stability necessary to write well? You told me once that you could only write well when you were in love. Could you expound on that a bit more?
What a question. But full marks for trying. You can write any time people will leave you alone and not interrupt you. Or rather, you can if you will be ruthless enough about it. But the best writing is certainly when you are in love. If it is all the same to you, I would rather not expound on that.
How about financial security? Can that be a detriment to good writing?
If it came early enough and you loved life as much as you loved your work, it would take much character to resist the temptations. Once writing has become your major vice and greatest pleasure, only death can stop it. Financial security, then, is a great help, as it keeps you from worrying. Worry destroys the ability to write. Ill health is bad in the ratio that it produces worry, which attacks your subconscious and destroys your reserve.
Can you recall an exact moment when you decided to become a writer?
No, I always wanted to be a writer.
Now, we've not discussed characters. Are there characters of your work taken without exception from real life?
Of course they are not. Some come from real life. Mostly you invent people from a knowledge and understanding and experience of people.
Could you say something about the process of turning a real-life character into a fictional one?
If I explained how that is sometimes done, it would be a handbook for libel lawyers.
Now, do you make a distinction, as E.M. Forster does, between flat and round characters?
If you describe someone, it is flat, as a photograph is, and from my standpoint, a failure. If you make them up from what you know, there should be all the dimensions.
Which of your characters do you look back on with particular affection?
That would make too long a list.
Then you enjoy reading over your own books without feeling there are changes you would like to make?
I read them sometimes to cheer me up when it is hard to write, and then I remember that it was always difficult and how nearly impossible it was sometimes.
Now, how do you name your characters?
The best I can.
Do the titles come to you while you're in the process of doing the story?
No. I make a list of titles after I finish the story or the book, sometimes as many as 100. Then I start eliminating them, sometimes all of them.
And you do this even with a story whose title is supplied from the text? Hills Like White Elephants, for example?
Yes, the title comes afterward. I met a girl in Prunier where I had gone to eat oysters before lunch. I knew she'd had an abortion. I went over and we talked, not about that. But on the way home, I thought of the story, skipped lunch, and spent the afternoon writing it. You go to the races?
Yes, occasionally.
Then you read the racing form. There you have the true art of fiction.
Good night, George.